You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. On the west coast of the country, good morning to you on this Wednesday, April 24th. Hope you're having a good morning so far. If you're not a hockey fan, I feel bad for you. Yeah. You should be a hockey fan. Yeah. If you did not watch, and if you're an East Coast sports fan in general, I feel bad for you too. That sucks, man. Because last night, the Las Vegas Knights and the San Jose Sharks played. And let's see, in the third period, with about, I don't know how many, 7 minutes left or something like that, or maybe, 10 minutes left, I don't know, something like that. A little bit more than midway through the third period, major penalty for high sticking, cross-checking, I think it was. And San Jose scored 3 goals to tie it up. Place was going crazy, Thunderdome. Now, you can argue about the penalty, but in the NHL, you get your stick up on somebody, you injure them, you own it. So anyway, watching that, San Jose goes ahead. Yeah, places pandemonium was breaking loose in San Jose last night. And then Las Vegas has a good team, probably the better team was Las Vegas. They tied it up with less than a minute left. Goes to overtime. San Jose wins. Crazy, crazy, crazy. So stayed up and watched that. That was good. Yankees tried to blow up a game, but they won. So, they're fielding a Triple-A team. Thank God they're playing the Angels, right? But they can't beat, like, lame teams they can't beat. So anyway, I was up. I was reading. And saw a headline, so I kind of investigated it. And interesting phenomenon in the Navy going on. There's people in the Navy, I think, that are so disgusted by the way the Navy, the leadership of the Navy, has handled some of these crises, that they're leaking documents to newspapers in order to expose what they believe is the inept handling of these incidents. Now, a month or so ago, there was an investigation leaked to Navy Times involving the, no, probably a couple months now, involving the USS Fitzgerald. It was the first, excuse me, it was the first investigation that came, that was done. I want to say the investigating officer, I can't remember his name, he was on the pier when it got there, when the ship got there, and he filed his report in, I want to say, 6 weeks, something like that. That was a preliminary report. Well, people are so evidently so disgusted with the way the Navy has handled that, that they leaked it to the media to go ahead and report on. Yeah, things you don't see all the time, right? So, a similar thing has happened, and the story, I want to say, was initially reported again by Navy Times, and also the New York Times picked up on it. The headline of the New York Times story is, Navy SEALs were warned against reporting their chief for war crimes. But that's just the tip of the iceberg, because you can only, like, okay, so in a headline, what are we going to put in the headline? That the guy allegedly murdered girls? Teenage girls? Shot him for sport? Are we going to put that in the headline? Ah, you know. So anyway, and again, it's interesting. The story is interesting from the standpoint of, we've been talking about discipline, right? We've been talking about discipline. And then when you look at, why don't we hear stories about, you know, why don't we hear these same stories about Delta Force in the numbers that we hear them about the SEALs? And then the Navy, what, at the end of January, came out and said, yeah, there's no cultural problem. And you'll read this article, and I'll post it with this hour, the link to the article. And I mean, honestly, it's stunning. The thing that allows you to serve and to do difficult things is the cloak of amnesty that sits around you, a force field, if you will, because A, you're fighting for your country and you're doing what you're supposed to do. B, that you're disciplined and you understand the law of land warfare and you understand the code of conduct and all the things that we're supposed to live by, right? All that provides an invisible force field so you can come home and live the rest of your life. And you can say, yeah, you know, I did difficult things, but I did, you know, I did the best I could do while I was fighting for my country. And so when you get beyond that, that's when bad shit happens. When you begin to a la carte discipline and what you buy, you lose your force, you lose your shield, you lose that invisible protection. And dare I say, you destroy your life. You know, you've heard the audio of Barnado Simpson. Clearly those guys, right? They lost their cloak of protection. And so, you know, there was a, you know, the whole culture of the SEALs, swift, silent, deadly, this horizontal organization where we, it's a meritocracy that you earn. You earn your way into this, and so as an officer, you could be working for, you know, somebody who's junior to you in rank, but senior to you in experience, so that's the way it works here. I mean, there's good and bad with that. There's good and bad. And the bad is that, you know, what you're seeing is this, and what the article lays out is, junior members of SEAL Team 7 went to their leaders and said, hey, you've got to put an end to this. You've got to investigate this. This guy is out of control. And you know what they got told? Hey, you need to be really careful with this shit. Because when you light this off the frag pattern, it could cost you your career. So you might want to just be, you know, just quote unquote decompress and get on with your life. because if you press this, you'll lose your chicken, which is the SEAL Team Trident, right, with the bird and all that kind of shit. So I want to talk about that today, this morning. Grant Newsham is going to join us, and we're going to talk about a whole bunch of things. We'll talk about we haven't had Grant on to talk about kind of general topics. And so we'll talk to him about some general stuff. We'll have him update us on he's in Taiwan, so we'll talk about Taiwan. I don't know too much about Taiwan. I know where it is. I know historically what it's been. We'll get him to update some trade stuff. We'll talk about the Philippines, who seem to be, I don't know, it seems like they're at least publicly pushing back against China. What's the deal with that? We'll talk about the U.S.-China trade deal. We'll talk about get his thoughts on North Korea. And so Grant Newsham will join us in 49 minutes. So, good morning to you. My sons are fired up. They're going to Game 7 tonight in Washington, D.C., Capitals versus the Carolina Hurricanes. Game 7, come on. Game 7. And they're only paying $100 for a ticket. Like, what's up with that? The Capitol fans don't go to the games? That's ridiculous. Game 7 Stanley Cup champions, round 1, right, $100? Come on. Pay $100 to go to a regular season game. Anyway, but they're fired up to go. And I wish I was going. So, yeah, left out again. I'm going to read you some excerpts of this article. The other thing I did a little reading on Vietnam last night, the general sequence of Vietnam, which I thought was interesting. I did a little reading about Commandant Lew Wilson, whose idea was the, we talked about yesterday, but his idea was the expeditious discharge. Marines discharged close to 8,000 people from the Marine Corps. Get out. And so I read a little bit about that. And, you know, the Marine Corps went through a tough time in that period. You know, there was a recruit in San Diego that was, the story that you hear is that he was mentally retarded. All right. And the truth is he was emotionally disturbed and came from a state where law enforcement agencies were not allowed to share that information. So the recruiter, if the kid doesn't fess up to it, the recruiter has no idea. But that's, you don't tend to hear that part of the story. Anyway, it was interesting reading interviews with General Wilson and his thoughts on what he was trying to do with the Marine Corps, transition it to, you know, high school graduates. And he did that. And so, you know, and then did two things. First commandant to deal with the all-volunteer force, raising requirements, which he was told would kill the Marine Corps. And then the second thing he did was he pushed for the Marine Corps to have a permanent seat in the Joint Chiefs of Staff table. So Medal of Honor recipient as a company commander on Guam. You should read that. Holy shit, man. You know, a lot of times Medal of Honor citations have a paragraph of an action. I want to say his Medal of Honor citation has like four paragraphs of different events, all cited in the same summary. You're like, are you done yet? No. So interesting reading about a commandant who dealt with the Marine Corps as it transitioned from wartime in Vietnam to peacetime. The other thing I thought in reading it, and it was kind of a five-page general history of the Marine Corps in Vietnam and just kind of the timeline. When the first advisors went there, when the first units deployed there, when the first aviation units deployed there, blah, 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 blah. Then 1967, the fights as up in Northern I Corps, as the Marine Corps pushes out of, you know, the air and naval bases in Da Nang and begins to fight inland. And so anyway, which is all the precursor for the Tet Offensive, which is being planned, and the foundation, the elements being put into place. So it's very interesting. It made up my mind, though, the next battlefield study I want to do is about that, is the fights in 1967 around the DMZ as McNamara's wall was, no relation, his wall was being built, right, designed to thwart the NVA's ability to infiltrate into South Vietnam. The line was never completed, but it was the catalyst for some of the major fights up in the Con Tien area, and then to a little bit south and further to the east is Khe Sanh. So that's the next battlefield study we'll do. I'll call Woody and get him to point me in the direction of a Con Tien guy. So anyway, interesting reading last night, to say the least. So good morning to you. Welcome to a Wednesday hump day edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. United States Marine Corps band makes it official. Good morning to you. We're going to talk about it here in a few minutes, but this is dedicated to the nameless junior SEALs that stood up and said, we're not having this shit anymore. And they will probably pay for what they're doing, as right as it is, with their affiliation as SEAL members. But you know what? That's all right. For the rest of their lives, they'll be able to put their head on their pillow and close their eyes and know that they did the right thing. So to those junior SEALs who saw things that were wrong and stood up and said, we're not having this shit, well done. Well done. This Marine song is dedicated to you all for your moral courage.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speed. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Brain Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
8:23 on Wednesday, time to check the weather around Marineland. It is currently sunny and 69 in Quantico. It is mostly sunny and 78 on the east coast of the United States, Camp Lejeune to be specific. It is sunny and 72 in 29 Palms. It's cloudy, foggy and 57 at Camp Pendleton. In Okinawa, dark cloudy 78, so Okinawa continues to warm. In Al-Anbar, in Iraq, it is cloudy and 72, so mild temperatures continue. In Iraq, in Afghanistan, early in the evening, it is clear and 73 degrees. Currently, cloudy and 59 degrees in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area. Beautiful day yesterday in Southern California. Looking for a high today of 74, 74 again tomorrow, and 71 on Friday. Book it, Dano. Just keep it right there. No need to move the thermostat beyond that. I'm having an argument with my younger son about, was the high stick a penalty, an actual penalty last night in the Sharks game? Not really an argument. But it's an inadvertent high stick. It doesn't look to be deliberate, but the result of it is an injury. And I don't know. Does anybody know? Is that reviewable? I think it's reviewable, right? To see what actually happened, because it happens really quick. And he bounces off one guy, and then the other guy's moving and gets his stick up on him. But that's not what injures him, I don't think. What injures him is the way he falls to the ice. So, complex hockey talk today. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. I'll share with you this New York Times story that's absolutely, honestly, it's absolutely stunning. But, you know, we've talked about these issues of discipline and units and things like that. And so when you're undisciplined, you get what you get. And this story is, it'll make you sick to your stomach. It'll make you sick to your stomach. And if a modicum of what's in the story is true, it's absolutely disgusting. And let me tell you, it reflects directly on the Navy's whitewashing of the SEAL community by continuing to say, oh yeah, nothing to see here, boys. Nothing to see here. So, more of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara.
and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk you to a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made. Of this heartbreak, I wanna drive fast.
If you haven't listen to some of the podcasts, if you're like behind in your obligation, I'm telling you, you need to get on that shit, because there's some good stuff on the website. Right, Mikey Tor's discussion about leadership, yesterday's discussion with John Legato, Vietnam veteran, the book he wrote about Sergeant Major Canley and what Alpha 1-1 did as the QRF that was headed towards Hue City. That if you didn't, if you haven't heard Josh Gilkey is our first post-traumatic winner of the week. Not that there's any great award for that, just a recognition from All Marine Radio, for impacting the lives of others and helping his own life, which is essentially what post-traumatic winning is all about. So, if you haven't listened to that stuff, every one of those on your list. Put every one of them on your list. Good stuff. Let me read you. The headline is, Navy SEALs were warned against reporting their chief for war crimes. Stabbing a defenseless teenage captive to death, picking off a school-aged girl and an old man from a sniper's roost, indiscriminately spraying neighborhoods with rockets and machine gun fire. Navy SEALs from Team 7 Alpha Platoon said they had seen their highly decorated platoon chief commit shocking acts in Iraq, and they had spoken up repeatedly, but their frustration grew as months passed, and they saw no sign of official action. Tired of being brushed off, seven members of the platoon, called a private meeting with their troop commander in March of 2018 at Naval Base Coronado near San Diego, according to a confidential Navy criminal investigation report obtained by the New York Times. They gave him the bloody details and asked for a formal investigation. But instead of launching an investigation that day, the troop commander and his senior enlisted aide, both longtime comrades of the accused platoon leader, Special Operations Chief Edward Gallagher, warned the seven platoon members that speaking out could cost them and others their careers, according to the report. The clear message, one of the seven told investigators, was, stop talking about it. Platoon members eventually forced the referral of their concern to authorities outside the SEALs, and Chief Gallagher now faces a court-martial, which is set to begin on May 28th. But the account of the March 2018 meeting and the other details in the 439-page report paint a disturbing picture of a subculture within the SEALs that prized aggression even when it crossed the line and that protected wrongdoers. According to the investigation report, the troop commander, which would be the equivalent of a company commander, Lieutenant Commander, which is the equivalent of a major, Robert Breisch, said in the meeting that while the SEALs were free to report the killings, the Navy might not look kindly on rank-and-file team members making allegations against the chief. Their careers could be sidetracked, he said, and their elite status revoked, referring to the Eagle and Trident badges worn by SEALs, he said, the Navy will pull your birds. Now, does that sound like what that guy's supposed to do when seven members of his unit come to him? That's what I'm saying. When a culture is sick, and the SEAL culture is sick, This is the equivalent of a major, right, and a company commander when a significant portion of your unit comes to you and raises a problem. You wonder how these things, you know, happen. You wonder how this culture sustains itself because it's a sick culture despite of what the Navy will tell you. And it's so sick that somebody leaked this to the New York Times. And they leaked it after, right, the Fitzgerald investigation was leaked, and the Navy sent out an all-nav or a white paper, whatever they said, warning people against leaking classified information to the media. That's how sick people are of the Navy's leadership and the way they don't deal with these problems in a direct way. Put it in the front window, right, and deal with it. The enlisted aide, Master Chief Petty Officer Brian Al-Azawi, warned them that the frag radius, right, and that's referring to the frag radius is when something explodes, and that is the radius that the metal will kill you, right? So every piece of ordnance has a frag radius, right, where if you're within that, you're likely to be killed or wounded, right? So frag radius, right? From a war crime investigation of Chief Gallagher could be wide enough to take down a lot of other SEALs as well, the report said. So that's a warning to them that you may be implicated in this too. Do you really want to do this? Chief Gallagher's men were sounding an alarm about killings in Iraq. His supervisors were lavishing praise on him. An evaluation quoted in the investigation reportedly called Chief Gallagher the best chief of the 12 in the team and said, this is the man I want leading SEALs in combat. A month later, the 7 platoon members finally succeeded in spurring their commanders to formally report the killings of 3 Iraqis to Navy Criminal Investigation Service by threatening to go directly to top Navy brass and to the news media. Tell me, that's no small act of moral courage in that culture. Gallagher was arrested in September on more than a dozen charges, including premeditated murder and attempted murder. He's pled not guilty and denies all the charges. I'll read you a few other excerpts from it that I made in the article. So the article is what, 11? It's 11 pages long when you print it out. Gallagher learned of the March 2018 meeting soon after it happened. The report indicates, and he began working to turn other SEALs against the accusers. Quote, I just got word these guys went crying to the wrong person, Chief Gallagher wrote to a fellow chief in one of the hundreds of text messages included in the report. To another, he wrote, the only thing we can do as good team guys is to pass the word on those traitors. They are not brothers at all. Now, you didn't know this kind of stuff because none of this had been released, right? Do you remember when his family was complaining, why is he still in the brig? Okay, the reason that he's in pretrial confinement is that he's murdered people and operated outside the lines of discipline, allegedly, and he's also threatened witnesses, right, which is not an allegation, which is in fact true based on his text messages. So that's why, and his family's all over Fox News, right, saying that he's being railroaded, blah, 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 blah. But the factual evidence, right, means that he should stay in the brig. And then there was a ruling late last week or Monday that said that all these texts were admissible as evidence. A number of platoon members told investigators that at first they were excited to be led by the battle-hardened legend, but their opinion quickly shifted after they were deployed to Iraq in February of 2017 to help retake Mosul from Islamic State fighters. The SEALs in the platoon did not respond to requests for interviews for this article. Their names and those of others have also not been identified publicly in court. And the New York Times has withheld their names at a request by the Navy because of the covert nature of their work. A spokesman for Naval Special Warfare, Commander Tamara Lawrence, right? Commander equals Lieutenant Colonel, just for those of you who aren't fluent in Navy, said that while they are commandos, SEALs are still expected to follow the same laws as all other troops, adding, it's called special operations, not different operations. The investigation report said several members of platoon told investigators that Chief Gallagher showed little regard for the safety of team members or the lives of civilians. Their mission was to advise Iraqi forces and provide assistance, much like other units that have gone to the vicinity of Mosul, with snipers and drones. But they said the chief wanted instead to clear houses and start firefights. He would order them to take what seemed like needless risk and to fire rockets at houses for no apparent reason, they said. He routinely parked an armored truck on the Tigris River Bridge and emptied the truck's heavy machine gun into neighborhoods on the other side with no discernible targets, according to one senior SEAL. Chief Gallagher's job was to plan and oversee missions for the platoon, but platoon members said he spent much of his time in a hidden perch with a sniper rifle, firing three or four times as often as the other platoon snipers. They said he boasted about the number of people he killed, including women. Two SEAL snipers told investigators that one day, from his sniper nest, Chief Gallagher shot a girl in a flower print hijab who was walking with other girls on the riverbank. One of those snipers said he watched through his scope as she dropped, clutching her stomach. The other girls dragged her away. Another day, two other snipers said the chief shot an unarmed man in a white robe with a wisp of white beard. They said the man fell, a red blot spreading on his back. So you see this, I mean, you see some of it on Fox News, right? He's being railroaded, right? All the rest of that. And so, anyway, you know, when you see it, it's head-scratching stuff because you look at it and you say, what the hell, right? And these guys are junior guys in SEAL Team 7, and they get buried. So, you know, again, it's just interesting, this whole notion of what is discipline and what is not discipline, and then what results because of it. So, interesting discussion. Grant Newsham coming, gonna talk to Grant in about 22 minutes. There you have it. How's that for exactness? I got a series of text messages from Tim Lynch, who you will hear tomorrow. One of the guys in Alpha 1-1, if you listened to yesterday, you heard discussed, is a sergeant by the name of Gonzalez. And Tim Lynch sent me some pictures of, at a museum, the actual Medal of Honor that was awarded to Sergeant Gonzalez. It's in a museum. And then he sent me a picture of, here's his mom receiving the Medal of Honor. The uniformed Marines are not identified. I think that's Gunny Canley on the left. And then you heard, if you listened to the interview yesterday, you heard Ray Smith, who's a virtual legend in the Marine Corps. It was funny when John Legato was talking about Lieutenant Smith showing up, and then they he said that he wanted Gunny Canley to take over 3rd Platoon, and Canley looks at Smith and says, "Sergeant Gonzalez is 3rd Platoon," and Second Lieutenant Smith says, "Yeah, I think I'd feel more comfortable if you were there." And Canley looks at him and he says, "Sergeant Gonzalez has 3rd Platoon." And I think he says it one more time. And Canley doesn't budge. He says, "Sergeant Gonzalez is 3rd Platoon." And so it was interesting. So it was interesting. Some stories. Still on Marine Corps Times, the top story is 2nd Marine Division mandates daily routine, citing poor discipline and long hair. Now that's a... Again, that's a headline, right? That's a headline. We'll see if they change that. Interesting story about the next generation of the light armored vehicle. The F-35 of ground combat, that's what Marines want the light armored vehicle to be. The replacement for the current LAV-25. So what is it? So the F-35 is this fully integrated platform, right? And so what should the follow-on be? Right? The ARV, whatever the hell that is, advanced reconnaissance vehicle? Maybe? Armored reconnaissance vehicle is expected to begin replacing legacy LAVs by the late 2020s. What is that? The ARV will be an advanced combat vehicle system capable of fighting for information that balances competing capability demands to sense, shoot, move, communicate, and remain transportable as part of the Naval Expeditionary Force. Whoa. That's a mouthful. We need to look at something like the F-35. You can clearly see a generational change when you go from Harriers and F-18s to the F-35. The concept would make the platform a sensor-based system that could trade off firing missions through ground and air elements, both manned and unmanned. That's not entirely new. A similar initiative is being developed for the brand new amphibious combat vehicles, the replacement for decades-old amphibious assault vehicles, the primary ship-to-shore connector. So, pretty interesting, right? You have a platform that is fully integrated into the data world that is modern military operations. Here's a story that's pretty interesting. Armed Mexican soldiers confront U.S. soldiers on U.S. soil. What? Two U.S. soldiers in a remote area of Texas were confronted by Mexican soldiers who thought the Americans had crossed into Mexico, U.S. officials said on Tuesday. The Mexican troops reportedly removed a weapon from the American soldier who was armed. U.S. Northern Command, which manages the military support for Customs and Border Protection, said the Americans were in a CBP Border Patrol vehicle in a remote area in the vicinity of Clint, Texas. The incident happened on April 13th and was first reported by Newsweek, which said one of the Mexican military members removed a service pistol from the hip of one of the Americans and threw it inside the U.S. government vehicle. A Northern Command statement to the Associated Press on Tuesday said the inquiry by the Defense Department and a Border Patrol revealed that the Mexican military members believed they were in Mexican territory at the time they confronted the Americans. The incident happened on a slice of U.S. territory south of the border wall, but north of the actual border. Sounds like much ado about nothing, but it's an interesting headline, eh? I agree. The top five stories in Early Bird, we'll take a look at Stars and Stripes, which is one of my favorites. Top five stories in Early Bird. Number one is the U.S. Air Force, not Turkey, is frustrating Lockheed executives on the F-35 program. Turkey's purchase of the Lockheed Martin F-35 is in jeopardy due to its order of a Russian air defense system, but Lockheed executives on Tuesday appeared unruffled by the dispute. Rather, they signaled that an inconsistent demand by the U.S. military, particularly the Air Force, is a bigger long-term concern. During an April 23 earnings call, one Wall Street analyst asked how Lockheed is dealing with shifts in the F-35 production rate caused by fluctuations in U.S. demand and the uncertainty of future orders with Turkey, Canada, and Italy. Lockheed executive Marilyn Hussein did not mention Turkey by name, but responded that decisions about Turkish participation in the program remain with the U.S. government. Quote, I suppose the JPO, which is the Joint Fighter Program Office, will have to figure out how they manage what aircraft they buy at what point in time as countries look at their procurement decisions or as things change among the partners that we have. But I think they're managing the risk quite well, and the demand is very strong. Anyway, Turkey, right? Whatever. Two, investigators report U.S. military training range woes across the Indo-Pacific. Now, as we pivot to the Pacific and begin to send more people out there and have more demand for ranges that have been neglected for how long? At least 20 years? They're not there. As a result of this lack of training, ranges, aviation units in the Indo-PACOM area of responsibility cannot train as they would fight, according to a 2018 report. So, there you go. Number three, Trump administration appeals ruling, finding that the mail-only draft is unconstitutional. Why would the Trump administration appeal it? How can it be when all the jobs are open to everybody, how can the mail-only draft be constitutional or fair, let alone? The Trump administration has moved to defend the mail-only military draft, appealing a federal court ruling that selective service registration is unconstitutional because it discriminates based on sex. The appeal on Monday comes as a plaintiff in the case step up their legal efforts to force the government to either force women to register for the draft or to eliminate the mandatory draft registration entirely. There you have it. And the draft will be eliminated. You want to know why? Because women would be pissed if you force them to register for the draft, and they won't vote for you because they don't want to register for the draft. Right? And this screws up the whole agenda of, you know, it should be anybody can serve. Okay, well, if anybody can serve, then everybody can be drafted. Yes? Oh, no, screw that. Yeah, so that's not how that thing works well. And who's going to lobby for that politically? Yes, women should be drafted. You're not going to get reelected, so nobody can support it. So where does that leave us? Well, I guess we could say that, okay, there's a separate set of rules for women, so if women aren't equal and they can't be drafted, then maybe they shouldn't be able to serve wherever they want to serve. Maybe we should go back to the old days of the DOD. Well, hell, we can't do that, so what is the only course of action left to us? Eliminate the draft. That's right. There you have it. That's how it works. Number four, armed Mexican soldiers confront U.S. soldiers on U.S. soil. We've talked about that. Number five, terrorists in Sri Lanka swore allegiance to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. So what you see is ISIS now around the world. You know, and I've said this before, I'll say it again. At some point, right, the Muslim nations need to come out and publicly condemn this in a very, very public way. Right? But the Muslim world is the Muslim nation. The Muslim world is divided. It's divided between Sunnis and Shiites, and they don't see eye to eye. That is the basis of the confrontation in the Middle East, Iran leading the Shiites, and Saudi Arabia leading the Arab countries. And they hate each other, so you won't see that. And so hundreds of innocent people that were doing nothing more than worshiping, murdered by I don't know, what would you call them? Scumbags who murder innocent people. Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible. All right, we're going to take a break. Hold on. I got to do Stars and Stripes. Headlines and Stars and Stripes. All right, we'll just do headlines. It's the same. The reason I paused wasn't for dramatic effect, as you might think. The reason I paused is because it's the same page as it was yesterday. So, there is one story that's new. Artificial intelligence tool can detect PTSD from patient voices, a study suggests. A computer program can analyze the voices of war veterans and determine which of them has post-traumatic stress disorder with 89% accuracy, according to a study published this week in the Journal of Depression and Anxiety. Okay, so then what do? We put them on the VA's treatment protocol, which is we'll medicate them and send them to talk therapy. And where does that get them? Hopefully to a better place. That's right. Hopefully to a better place. All right. We're going to take a break. On the other side of that, you're going to hear Grant Newsham here on a, what is it? It's a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio on your very own home for it. And again, I just want to say, you know, the moral courage it took these, you know, these junior SEALs to push this thing and say we're not going to stand for it. And, you know, God bless them. You know, God bless them. It's no small act that they committed. So we'll take a break. And I say that because, I mean, if you've listened to this program, you know that my opinion of them, having worked with them frequently, in and around Fallujah, is not a high one. And, of all the special forces units I worked at, they were clearly, the loosest and caused the most collateral damage and caused the most problem. And again, I didn't have an opinion. I'd never seen them operate or I'd never been, I mean, I knew they were operating in 2004 and I knew there was issues with some of the things they did, but I didn't have a view into it. I didn't see any of it. I didn't work with them, as they did their thing. So different story in 2006 though. So my opinion of them is not high. It's not a high one. I tended to stay away from it. You know, and then I've told the story before in the program about somebody asking me about the whole lone survivor thing. And I said, I don't know anything about it. And they said, well, I'm curious what your thoughts would be. And I said, I don't have a very high opinion of them. And I kind of don't go near that stuff. And they said, well, would you mind just, you know, reading up on it and tell me what you think? And honestly, you know, a lieutenant by the name of Murphy, he seals their fate when he doesn't listen to the fire support guys, the Marines, I want to say it was 2nd Battalion, 3rd Marine Regiment from Hawaii. They owned the battle space. It was their operation, and the SEALs became part of that operation against what the Marines wanted. But the Marines needed to special ops CH-47s, Army helicopters, right? And the task force commander, a soldier, said, if you want the helicopters, the SEALs got to do the reconnaissance and surveillance part of this operation. And so that's how the SEALs got involved in it. When they went to a brief, they got told, we have targets up all over that ridgeline in case something happens to you. Right? And then when they got to the communication plan, it said, you're going to need to take this radio and this radio, one a bit heavier, right? So it's more robust. It talks for longer distances. That's how comm works. And they rejected that idea. They said, no. We have our little shoulder thing. And we have an Iridium. And the Marines said, that shit doesn't work. You won't talk to us. And they said, no, we will. And with that decision, their fate up on that mountain was sealed. Along with, instead of offset, they're inserting 4 miles away and walking in. They offset a mile away. They got seen when they were inserted. And the rest, you see some version of it in a movie. So I read about it. And I said, no, it's typically what I know to be true. Bad decision making. And then imagine that in an urban area, and then you got to go kill people to get them out of a bad decision, compounded by another bad decision. So I'm no fan, based on what I've seen operationally. And I've talked to other people and asked them, you know, if I was wrong, and they're like, no. So anyway, I just want to compliment those young SEALs in SEAL Team 7 for doing what they did, for standing up for what's right. And I hope the Navy quickly ushers out of the Navy the lieutenant commander and the senior chief that was part of that troop, and the individuals that they went to that told them to shut up in color. That told them that the frag pattern is wide in these kind of events, so you really don't want to go there, right? That they're going to pull your chicken. All the things people say so that people look the other way. And it's wrong. It's wrong as wrong could be. And they as a culture need to address this stuff. So, more of All Marine Radio coming up next. Right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available, and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends, these are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, Visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.